Welcome to the Healthy Skin Show with Jennifer Fugo, where we're flipping everything you've been told about your chronic skin issues upside down and connecting you with alternative solutions your dermatologist never told you about.
Welcome back to episode number 179 of the Healthy Skin Show. In today's episode, I want to talk about using diet changes on your skin rash journey to heal or at least better manage your skin. I have so much to say about this topic because my opinion is rather controversial. There are a few people who agree with me, including several of my colleagues who work in this field, like Krista Bigler, Rocky Roy, Lacey Dunn, and Jennifer Brand, all of whom have been guests here on the show. This is not my first time, by the way, talking about the pitfalls of the diet-only approach. My stance is that diet has been way, way, way oversold as a tool to fix your long-standing chronic skin problems. These incredibly strict diet changes have made for popular books and even diets bearing their name. But there are hidden consequences, especially when they're used for too long. As you listen to this episode, I hope that you'll keep an open mind and hear me out. My intention is not to make you feel bad for choosing to use diet as a tool to help your skin, nor that you should just give up entirely on your journey. But remember that diet is just one piece of the puzzle for most living with chronic rashes. If anything, I want to help put you on a healthier, more well-rounded path that will support your skin's healing journey long-term. And most of all, I want you to avoid developing a seriously dysfunctional, fear-filled relationship with food that is rampant in our community. This past weekend, I met with a client whose diet was pretty much a mess. It wasn't because she didn't have any sense of what a healthy, balanced diet looked like. It was because the practitioner that she'd seen told her to remove so many foods from her already healthy diet that she had no idea what to eat anymore. She was left feeling incredibly confused, but willing to be compliant as best she could. The reality was that after a few weeks, these recommendations and the way they were positioned made her really afraid to eat. Now, before you ask, she didn't see any improvements whatsoever from removing all these foods. Her itchy, hivey, inflamed patches all over were still keeping her up at night, costing her precious sleep. So clearly something needed to give, but she didn't know what that was. And that was really the main reason that drove her to want to sit down and speak with me, to get some guidance about what to do. Now, this client's experience, by the way, is not an uncommon one. I'd argue that I have conversations very similar to this more frequently these days. Food fear, disordered eating patterns, and even eating disorders are a growing problem amongst those desperate to fix their skin. If you really felt like your relationship with food has suffered, the more you try on your own to fix your skin, perhaps it's time to stop bouncing from diet to diet. Because some hidden root causes that aren't nearly as obvious may not be food fixable, no matter what diet you try. Despite the promises made about certain diets or books about your particular skin rash issue, and even the stunning before and after photos claiming amazing success following a certain diet, diet and food remain just one of the 16 potential root causes. The question rarely answered online by someone who's had great success with a particular diet is, what happens when they try to reintroduce other foods? Their answer usually ranges from, well, as long as I stay on my diet, I'm okay. Or they might say, I'm afraid that if I try to add back in new foods, my skin will flare. Or sometimes they'll also say, when I add in foods that I've eliminated, my skin will flare. Or lastly, they'll say, well, this diet is more convenient for me, so I'm not interested in trying to add back in food. Now, I know these answers because I've repeatedly asked this question of people who've experienced varying levels of success with diet. I've also asked this question of clients who've tried diets that range from 100% vegan or plant-based to carnivore with varying degrees of success. Some believe that they'll never be able to eat certain foods again, like legumes or citrus or oats, tomatoes or leafy greens, you know, because of their salicylate content. The foods removed often aren't true food allergies, but they're convinced that these foods will always be a problem and need to be avoided. Others believe that certain foods demonized by different groups or medical professionals are inherently bad for you, as if we can ultimately proclaim some trademark diet as being the best for a certain skin condition. Frankly, that's absurd and fails to take into account your unique bio-individuality. There is no one-size-fits-all diet fix for skin rash conditions, and what may work for one person likely won't work for someone else. I'd rather see you address what's actually driving the problem and ultimately get back to a more diverse diet than you stay in elimination diet jail. Aside from the lack of nutrient diversity and the risk of developing nutrient deficiencies, the mindset associated with the overuse of elimination diets is incredibly troubling. It pits you against food, which is, above all, nourishment, and it sets the stage for disordered eating patterns that can be incredibly difficult to break. It's not to say that an elimination diet based upon your unique situation that you'd strategically for a period of time won't be helpful at all. But to just keep bouncing from elimination diet to even more restrictive eliminations ultimately does more harm than good based on my experience as a clinical nutritionist. And if you're a practitioner listening to this and have been encouraging elimination diets as the main tool to fix someone's rashes, including those specifically created for functional medicine, I beg you to rethink this strategy. This is just as much a part of the problem as random recommendations from well-meaning strangers online who suggest elimination diets. We as practitioners have a duty to support people in meaningful ways that guide them towards better overall balance in their health and lives, beyond the point during which we work with them. And yet, how is it that the best tools many seeking help are directed to only push increasingly restricted diets without any exit strategy to get them back to eating a broader diet? I know that these diet-based strategies are promoted in nearly every single health book on store shelves and by these quote-unquote health authorities with millions of followers. But the real-life consequences of overly relying on elimination diets have now created a trend of disordered eating and food fear that is frankly alarming and harmful. The painful truth is that if all your eliminations and diet tweaks haven't yet made a substantial and sustainable change to your skin, they aren't going to be your saving grace. Yes, diet matters, but not at the expense of your personal sanity and health. Your diet ultimately should be a unique reflection of who you are, your genetics, lifestyle, environmental stressors, nutrient needs, and health status. It must honor the relationship that you have with your body's fundamental nutritional and microbiome needs, given that your body doesn't make most of the nutrients it needs to thrive. It might not be easy or super convenient, which is a reason, by the way, I hear from so many people who choose carnivore. And it shouldn't be set in stone, because as your body changes and ages, so will your dietary needs. Elimination diets are only helpful when considered along with your body and health as a whole. But they must also include an exit strategy to help you ultimately add back in foods that were removed, unless we're talking about a true food allergy or gluten in the case of celiac. If the idea of adding back in foods that you have removed makes you nervous or afraid, or if your first action step when you're going through a flare is to remove more foods, I encourage you to sit with where you are mentally and emotionally around food. You're not a bad person, nor should you beat yourself up that you are at this point. What you're experiencing is adding more stress physically, mentally, emotionally, and socially to your plate. Instead, I invite you to acknowledge where you are and recognize that there are likely other factors driving your rashes beyond food. Start identifying foods that you could reintroduce. Yes, you can absolutely take steps to find them and support your body in a more meaningful way. But if you cannot begin letting go of the food fear or struggle with reintroductions, getting help is really important. There are nutrition professionals like myself and even my colleagues whom I mentioned earlier who have worked to support someone struggling just like you. You're not alone, and I really want you to know that. I just want to make sure that you don't get lost down this rabbit hole and find it very, very difficult to pull yourself back out. So as you can tell, I'm really passionate about this topic, so I ask that you share this episode in groups online, and even if you just email it to somebody you know who is deeply entrenched in an elimination diet and still struggling with their skin. There are far more people in our community hearing the mantra to eliminate more foods than those of us warning of the detriments and pitfalls of doing so. And I've also got resources for you guys who are looking for help around reintroductions in this episode. So if you head on over to the show notes over at skinterrupt.com/179, you can find them there. And I would honestly love to hear your thoughts and questions about this topic. So make sure to leave comments so we can keep the conversation going. And before you head off for your day, take a moment to rate and review The Healthy Skin Show on your podcast platform of choice. Make sure to hit that subscribe button while you're at it so you can tune in each week for new research, tips, and inspiration. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you in the next episode.